Okay, we're starting here at the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. A couple lines down, the Gemara is trying to explain the machlokus between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonatan, but how they know that the Stam Mita in the Torah is Chenek. Remember that Rabbi Yoshia says that it's because that's the lowest form of punishment, and therefore whenever it comes to Stam, we give the lightest form of punishment, that's Chenek. Rabbi Yonatan learned, like Rabbi, suggested that there's a hekesh between the mitah given by a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the mitah of Adam that has to be done in a manner that there's no roshim, there's no markings that are left, and therefore chenek is the appropriate form of killing. So the Gemara says, let's say, my love, let's say this, mipneshi kala kamiflege. That's the machlokus between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonatan. Why does Rabbi Yonatan not accept the limud of Rabbi Yoshia? Because he doesn't believe that chenek is the lowest form of punishment, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon, and that's been plucked to Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon. Their machlokus is the same as Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. The reason that Rabbi Yoshia says that chenek is the stam mita and that's the lowest form of mita, because he holds like the Rabbanon. How do we know stam mita is chenek according to Rabbi Shimon? That has to be learned like Rabbi Yonatan says. It can't, because it's the lowest form. It's not the lowest punishment is hereg in the Torah, and therefore over here his limud comes from that of Rebbe, which is that we compare the mita b'nei Adam to mita b'dei Shemayim. Gemara says, "Amalei Rebbe zera labaye shar niskalim delok tibu skila degamre mi oviyudoni b'may gemire." So what are you going to suggest over here? All the other niskalim that doesn't say specifically that you get skila by them, which we're going to see, there's going to be a list coming up in the next Mishnah. How do we know that they get skila? We learn them out from Ov and Yidoni. By Ov and Yidoni, it specifically says that you get skila. It's my Gamre. How do we learn from them? Do we learn it out from Mot Yumatu? Right? Gamre? Because the word Mot Yumatu is used by Ov and Yidoni and other skilot. Oh, but Demehim Bam Gamre. Do we learn it out from the words Demehim Bam? And if the Demehim Bam is used, that's who gets skila. Amalei, but Demehim Bam Gamre. That's what you learn it out from, Demehem, Demehem Bam, Gemar Gamre, that any Misa that says Demehem in it is Hukash to the Mita of Ovi Doni, and therefore they get the punishment of Skila. De'i b'mochi motu. If you learn it out from Mochi Motu, Gamre, Demehem, Demehem, Lomali. What do I need Demehem for if you learn it from Mochi Motu? Elamai, b'demehem, Demehem, Gamre. So Gemar says, okay, fine. You want to suggest that that's the case? Okay, so good. We're learning out from Demehem, Demehem. But then Mochi Motu Lomali. What do you need Mochi Motu for? So Gemara says, Kintanyu, Mochi Matama Kerotseyahu. Ainli Elabim Mitak Tuvabo. I only know that you put him to death by the proper execution of what he's supposed to get in this case. And a Rotseyach gets Hereg. Nayin Shimata Yehola Mitobi Mitak Tuvabo. How do I know if you can't kill him by the proper execution based in Shatam Mito Bechom Mita Shata Yehol, that you do it any way possible? Amito Tamalomar Mochumata Make Mikomakom, no matter what. You have to get him to be dead. You have to kill him. You have to execute him. The proper way to execute him is based on the Misa that's granted by the Torah. But if it's impossible to do that, then you have to do something to make sure that this Rotseach does not get away. Even if we learn out of Mochi Motu, what's the problem? What would have been included from Mochi Motu that would not have been learned, that would have been different by Demeyim Bum? Is there a nafkamina between whether we learn it out to Mochi Motu or we learn out to Demeyim Bum? So, my kakashle, ilay me eshet ish. If you want to say eshet ish, then when it says Mochi Mat, kakashle, the meite ulamigmar Mochi Mat me oviyavdoni. Because then you would take by a eshet ish and say by a married woman who has an extramarital affair, that says Mochi Mat, she'll get skila, me oviyavdoni. Malahalam skila, afkan biskila. So here too you'll get skila. Midama rachman anarusa biskila. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to tell you by anarusa that she gets skila, michlau de nisua la biskila. That teaches you that clearly by nisua she does not get skila. Sela make vivimo kakashile. No, the case of make vivimo, person who hits their parents, that's a problem. The meite ulamigmar mi ovidioni. Let us learn out from ovinidodini, and then he'll get skila. So when it says, adigami me ovidioni, ligmar me eshidish. Wait, if you have Mochi Motu, they both appears by Eshet Ish, where we know the punishment is Chenek. It appears by the case of Ovi Noni, where we know the punishment is Skila. So now you have a choice. So which one are you going to pick? So you're going to say, well, let's learn it out from Eshet Ish. Why? We have a choice. Where between giving two death penalties, then we say, go to the Kula. Why should we give him the more stringent? We have a choice in the Gzereshah. We're going to always go the Kula, just like the way we did by Sreifa. By Sreifa, we had a choice between burning at the stake and Nishmata Nisrevet Gufu Kayam. We went Nishmato Nisrevet Gufu Kayam, because that was the lighter form of punishment. That was the easier death. So to over here, you have after Recha Kamocha, pick the lighter death. If you have two ways to learn the Gzereshah, go with Eshet Ish and don't go with Ovi Doni. So I'm like, Shar Niskalim Gufayu Kakashale. The other Niskalim are the problem. The Ibn Mochumat Gamre, Ad Gamre Ovi Doni. But other times we have to put him to death. Why are you learning out from Ov Yud Nun? Learn it out from Eshet Ish. That means nobody will get skila. Anybody who doesn't say skila explicitly, if you have motu motu, then you're going to learn out from Eshet Ish. You always give them the lighter punishment. If you always give them the lighter punishment, then you're going to end up with everybody getting chenek and nobody getting skila unless it's explicitly written. That's not what we want. So therefore, when we use demand bomb is unique to Ov Yud Nun, and those that are getting skila, and therefore we can learn out skila from all of those cases. Okay, now we're beginning the next Mishnah. And the Mishnah is reverting back or almost having a flashback to dealing. We dealt with all the death penalties, how they're executed. Now the Gemara is going back to explain to us who gets this type of death penalty. The Elu Heina Niskalim. These are the people that get Skila. A Bala Aim, someone who has relations with the mother. Bala Eshet Av, with the father's wife. And we'll see in the Gemara is going to discuss whether it's just the father's wife that's not the mother, or the mother who is also the father's wife. V'ala kala, daughter-in-law, which we had seen with the chamiya, we had that earlier dapim. V'ala zachor, mishkav zachor, homosexuality. V'al behema, bishtiality. V'isha mevi'et behema, bishtiality, both from the man's side to a female behema, or a male behema to a female woman. V'amigadev, chas v'shalom, someone who is mekalel Hashem. V'ha oved, ovadat kochavim, someone who worships Avodah Zarah. Someone who gives from his Zerah L'Molech, so obviously this Tana does not believe Anotem Zerah L'Molech is a Avodah Zarah, otherwise it would be included in the last category, but rather Anotem Zerah L'Molech is a separate category. That's a different category whatsoever, but it's a chok of the Avodah Kachamim, and it's put to death by Skila. Ubal Ovi Ividoni, someone who performs these divinations, they put to death. V'mechalela to Shabbat, chilu Shabbat is skila. V'mechalela vivimo, and someone who curses their parents. Now, even though makea vivimo has a different punishment, a lower punishment of chenek, nevertheless, by mechalela vivimo, they get a punishment of skila. Why? Because you have two things here that are bad. By mechalel, you have klona vivimo, you're embarrassing your parents just like by hitting them, but you also the addition, umotzi shem shemayin levatala, you're also using shem shemayin levatala over here. So those two things bring you elevated to the punishment of skila versus just simply makea vivimo. Babal nara murasa, which we've discussed many times here, that a nara murasa who has an extramarital affair is biskila. Vemesit, someone who causes others to worship Avodah Zarah, these are individuals to worship Avodah Zarah. Vemediach, someone who causes a whole city to worship Avodah Zarah, they're both punished by skila. Vemechashef, those that are sorcerers involved in this witchcraft or sorcery, they get put to death biskila. Uven sorer umare, and the rebellious child also gets the punishment of skila. So now, habala aim, when it comes to a mother, a person who has relations with their mother, chayev le mishum aim, umshum eshadav. You're chayev for two things. You're chayev, number one, for mother, and you're chayev also because he's your father's wife. So you're chayev twice. Now, it doesn't make difference when it comes to, they're both skila, it doesn't make a damn with the death penalty, be mazid, but it doesn't matter b'shogeg. B'shogeg, since we are mechalek chataot, you'd have to bring two chataot in the case. An individual b'shogeg slept with their mother, would have to bring one shogeg or chatat for aim, and one chatat for eshadav, according to this. Yehuda disagrees, which the Gemara is going to tell us the limit of Rabbi Yehuda, is that it only applies to the It solely applies to the mother. You only have one chiyuv over here, and there's no mishum eshet av in this case. Bal eshet av, someone who sleeps with his father's wife, so this is a stepmother. Chayav mishum eshet av, mishum eshet ish. You're chayav for two things. One is because you slept with a stepmother, and number two is because you slept with a married woman. And this is true of all the arayot if they are married. There's two issues, there's two problems. There's a problem of the arayot, and there's a separate problem of eshet ish. So again, you have an afkamina in terms of chataot. Ben b'chaye aviv, ben achar mitat aviv. Whether the father is alive or the father has passed away, ben min arusim, ben anisuim. Whether it was arusa or nisua to his father, then all of these are restricted. Now again, over here, we're only talking about the issue of eshet av, of the father's wife. Of course, eshet ish doesn't apply after the father passes away, because she's not married anymore. So abal kalato, someone who sleeps with his daughter-in-law, chayel v'leh mishum kalato mishum eshet ish. Also, again, here we have two restrictions, one of daughter-in-law and one of a married woman. Ben b'chayei b'no, ben l'achar mitat b'no, whether the son is still alive or not alive. Ben min usim, whether it's when he's only engaged to her, or ben min usim, when there's a complete consummated marriage. So again, over here, again, we're talking about when the son is still alive. If the son passes away, then yes, there's a chiyuv of kalato. Obviously, eshet ish doesn't apply because the son has passed away. So Gemara says, Tanya, So now we have two different opinions of Rabbi Yehuda here in the Gemara. The first one is from a Braisa that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda's position in our Gemara, in our Mishnah. And then later on, we're going to have another Rabbi Yehuda brought, which seems to match with the Rabbi Yehuda that we see in our Mishnah. So the first Rabbi Yehuda says, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo hayta imo ruya li aviv. If his mother was not appropriate for his father, meaning that there was a restriction against them getting married. Now, the only way they can get married and have a restriction, we're going to see in the Gemara, is if there's an Isur Ilalav or Isur Derabonon or some sort of Isur Ketusha that is involved over here. So any of these Isurim that apply that say you're not supposed to marry. But if you do marry, the Kedushin is Chal. So if that's the type of marriage that we have over here, then Enu Chayav El Mishuma Ein Bovad. Then you're only Chayav when it comes to mother. But you won't be Chayav for the father's wife, because this shouldn't be his father's wife. My Enu Yalo. What does it mean that she's not appropriate from him? Ilema Chayav Ekrutot V'Chayav Mitot Beis. Then if you're talking about someone where he's not restricted from marrying this woman because she's Chayav, he'll be Chayav Karet if he marries her, or he's Chayav Mitas Beis, then the Rabbanan Sarvei Afogim De Enu Yalo. So you're going to suggest here, if that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that the Chamim disagree and say, no, in that case, she is a problem of Eshet Av. Halei Lei Kedushin Begava. Everybody agrees that when it comes to Chayav Mitot Beis Din or Chayav Karet, everybody agrees that there is no Tfisat Kedushin. There's no Kedushin over here. And Tosafot points out, even according to Rabbi Yeshua in the Gemara in Yevamot, who says that the only restriction or the only problem of Mamzer comes from Chayav Mitot Beis Din, he agrees by Chayav Mitot Karet that even though they're not Mamzerim, there's no Kedushin over there. So he has this in-between category, where it's a category where you can't marry them, Kedushin are not Tovsim, but they still don't produce Mamzerim. But everybody agrees that you can't have Kedushin by Chayav Karet and Chayav Mitot Beis Din. So what's left? El Chayav Lavin. So what are we talking about here? It must be a case of a Chayav Lav. Rabbi Yehuda, Sober like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva. Damar in Kedushin Tosim b'Chayav Lavin. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that, like Rabbi Akiva, who says when it's a Chayav Lav, the Chayav Lav can produce a Mamzer, and the Kedushin are not Tofsin. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if he marries a Chayav Lav, according to the Chamin, the Kedushin are Tofes, and therefore you're going to be Chayav if you sleep with her, both for Imo and Eshetav. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and disagrees and says, no, for Eshetav you're not going to be Chayav because it's not an appropriate wife. I hold like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, by Chayav Lavin, there's no Tfisat Kedushin. There's no Tfisat Kedushin. We don't have a wife over here. So, Meitiv Rav Oshia, Iser Mitzvah, Ve'Iser Kedusha, Chotzot, Velo Mityabot. When it comes over here to a case, a woman who is married to an individual, and the individual passes away, they have no children. So now she's a Yivama, his brother, her husband's, former husband's brother, is now supposed to marry and perform Yibum with her. If for some reason she is restricted to the brother, either because of a Chiyuv Karetz or a Chiyuv Mitzvos Beis Din, she goes free, she has to do nothing because she's restricted from the Torah from marrying this individual. On the other hand, if there's an Isur Mitzvah and Isur Kedusha, she's not supposed to marry this individual, and we'll see here in a second why. What's Isur Mitzvah and Isur Kedusha? Then she performs Chalitza. She has to be freed from this individual, but she may not perform Yivama. She may not be a Yabam to him. Why not? It's a mitzvah that say, let the asay be dochalot asay. So Gemara tells us in Yevamot that it's where choshesh bia shnia atu bia rishona. True, the bia rishona is a mitzvah of yibum, and therefore it'll override the lav. But after he's had the first bia, then there is an isur lav, and there's no longer a mitzvah yivamah, because he's already completed the mitzvah of yibum. So therefore there will not be an asay dochalot asay anymore, and therefore we don't allow him to do this. So we say he must perform chalitza and not perform yibum. So now, what is isur? This is the Braisa explaining, Isur Mitzvah, Shniot Midivrei Sofrim. What is an Isur Mitzvah? Those are the additional items that are added by Chachamim, the additional Arayot that are added by the Chachamim. But my Karlo Isur Mitzvah, why do they call them a Mitzvah? This is the Amoraim speaking, this is not part of the Braisa. It's a Shemitzvah Lishma Divrei Chachamim, because you're supposed to listen to the Chachamim. Now back to the Braisa, Isur Kedusha. Who has the case of Isur Kedusha? Almana LeKohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza LeKohen Ejot. Isur Kedusha is something where you're restricted from marrying the woman because of the status or the stature of the individual. That the Kohanim are Kadosh to Hashem. So if they're Kadosh to Hashem, their status of Kedusha restricts them from marrying certain types of women. So those types of Isurim, right, are called Isur Kedusha. But what do we see from this? That Isur Mitzvah and Isur Kedusha, either because it's only Midrash Rabbanan, or because it's only an Isur Kedusha, both of them require us to perform Chalitza, not Yibum. Meaning that there's still a Tfisat of some sort of Kedushin over here, and therefore you need Chalitza. But Tanya Allah, we have a price on that, Rabbi Yehuda Machlif. Rabbi Yehuda reverses the explanation of what Isur Mitzvah and Isur Kedusha are. He says Isur Mitzvah is the types of marriages like that of a Kohen. And so why does he call it Isra mitzvah, because the Torah commands you not to do these things. And then he says, Isra kedusha are the shniot arayot mi divrei sofrim. Those are the rabbanon isra arayot. Why do they call them kedusha? Because it says, kadesh et atzmacha b'mutarlach, that you have to be mekadesh yourself in restricting yourself what is otherwise mutar. Technically, these are mutar to you, but the Chachamim say no. So be mekadesh yourself by making, restricting yourself with things that are even mutar to you. So that's how it gets Isra kedusha. But the Gemara says, listen, chilufi hu demachlif. He agrees, his only machlokas with the Tanakhama is what's called Isur Kedusha, and what's called Isur Mitzvah. But nevertheless, he agrees to the principle of the Braisa, which is HaChalitza Bayi. Still requires Chalitza. Over here, we're talking about cases of Isur Lavin, and Isur Lavin of Kohen, that's not allowed to marry Grusha, and Lotase over here, and Rabbi Akiva says, Lotase make Mamzerim, why would you need a Chalitza over here? If it makes Mamzerim, then we say automatically, like by Krito, to Mitot, Bezdin, you go free without anything. So to Ariyah, you should go free without anything. Bisakadat, Rabbi Akiva, Svirle, Michte, Chayvi Lavin, the Rabbi Akiva, Chayvi Krito, Tommy, Chayvi Krito, Labbane Chalitza, Vibum Ninu. According to Rabbi Akiva, Isra Lav has the same status as a Chiv Kores. And just like by Chiv Kores, the Yobam and the Yavama go away, they don't have to do anything. So to Avir, by Chiv Lav and according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have to do anything. So if Rabbi Yehuda really holds like Rabbi Akiva, why is he requiring Chalitza in this case? So when I said the Dvar of the Tanakama Kamar, Veloi Lo Svirle. Rabbi Yehuda's argument with the Tanakama is not on the principle that he's establishing, but rather in his explanation of Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kedusha. He says, look, Vishitatcha, you, Tanakama, who think you need Chalitza over here. I think like Rabbi Akiva, you don't need Chalitza over here. This is like Chiyuv Kares. She goes free without anything. But according to you, who think she needs some sort of Chalitza over here, well, you're explaining the words Isra Kedusha and Isra Mitzvah wrong. And I'll tell you what they really should be explained at. So that's all he's doing, is he's flipping the explanation, but he's not stating his opinion about whether the Chalitza is needed or not. He's just speaking in the terms of the Chachamim. So that's the first Rabbi Yehuda we bump into. The Rabbi Yehuda says that Eshet Av only does not apply when there's a problematic marriage. If there isn't a problematic marriage, you have two Isurim. If a person sleeps Chas V'Shalom with their mother, then there's a restriction of Imo and a restriction of Eshet Av. If the Eshet Av is not good because the marriage is not a good marriage, then there's no Kiddushin over here. Then there's no more Eshet Av. There's only Imo. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting over here. Imo is only applicable or only alone when there's no Eshet Av. No Eshet Av is a case where the Kiddushin are Tofsin. Where does he disagree with the Chachamim about Kiddushin not being Tofsin? That's by Yisurei Lav. He holds like Rabbi Akiva. The Kiddushin are not Tofsin in that case. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, Kiddushin are Tofsin in that case, and you also violate the restriction of Eshet Av. That's the first Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have a second Rabbi Yehuda. And this second Rabbi Yehuda sounds like the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. And that is brought here. Kiat Rabbi Yitzchak, Hatani Kitan, he had a Rabbi Yehuda like our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Mer, Hinu Chayev El Mishum Haim, Bilvad, period. There's no qualification of whether he's Ra'ui or not Ra'ui. There's only one Isser, and that's the Isser of Imo. The time of mine. How do we explain this position of Rabbi Yehuda, that you're only Chayev for Aim and not Chayev for Eshedav? Arvaye Amakra, the Pasuk says, Imchahi. It says that she is your mother. The reason you're Chayev before Eivrat Imo is because Imchahi, she's your mother. Mishum, and that's an exclusion. That's a miut. Imchahi. Mishum Imo atam mechayvo, v'yatam mechayvo, mishum Eshet Av. So you're mechayiv him for Imo, but you will not be mechayiv him from Eshet Av. That's the exclusionary nature of Imchahi. When it says, Elam Ata, what are you going to do with the next pas? Ervat Eshet Avicha lo tegaleh. You're not allowed to marry your father's wife, your stepmother. Ervat Avichahi. Then it's Ervat Avichoi. It's the erva of your father. So now you have another miyot. So now what are you going to suggest? Mishum Eshet Av Ata Mechayvo, V'Ata Mechayvo Mishum Imo. So what are you going to suggest over here now? He's Chayav for Eshet Av for his father's wife, but he won't be Chayav for Imo. Now you're going to end up with this ludicrous situation, which is Ela Imo Shehi Eshet Aviv, a case where it's both his mother and his father's wife. Koi Hocha Umemayitle. If you go to one pasuk, it excludes it. If you go to the other pasuk, umamayitle, and then it excludes it the other way. Hashta, in a case, imo she'ena ishet aviv michayev, in a case where it's his mother, who is not his father's wife, he's chayav. Ishet aviv, if it's his father's wife, his stepmother, right, she'ena imo, but it's not his mother, michayev, in that case, he's chayav. Imo she'ishet aviv, you're going to end up with this ludicrous situation, lo michayev klau. You're not going to have any chiyuv at all, because each pasuk excludes the other one. I mean, each pasuk comes along and says, imo, not Eshet Aviv. Eshet Aviv, Mino, Imo. So if you end up with both of them, each pasuk comes and excludes the other. Tosfos asks over here, how come we don't have a problem with Unchin Min Adin? If you say that it's Imo, and it's Eshet Aviv, each one independently, why don't we say Kal v'chomer imo v'Eshet Aviv? Why can't we say that? Because even though in other cases we're going to see, when it comes to Arayot, we had this in the Gemara, Makot, that when it comes to Achoto Bat Aviv u'Bat Imo, that we say over there that it means Bat Aviv or Bat Imo, but it can't be Bat Aviv u'Bat Imo, because that would be a Onshim in Adin. Over there the Pasuk explicitly says, oh, puts an or in between. When it puts an explicitly an or in between, that means one or the other, not both. And therefore you can't be Onshim in Adin. But that's not true in our case over here. In our case over here, it says Eshet Aviv, and it says Imo independently. Each pasuk could be understood not to exclude the other, and therefore we could say Onshim in Adin. Here it wouldn't really be Adin. It's not. It means that Eshet Aviv could include Imo, and Imo could include Eshet Aviv. There's no reason to exclude one from the other. You don't have the O that is found by Bat Aviv, O Bat Imo, or Achoto Bat Aviv, O Achoto Bat Imo. Over there, that O tells you that it's one or the other, but it can't be both. Over here, it could be both. And that's why over here, the Gemara is suggesting, or has the possibility, that it should be obvious. If Imo is Chayav, and Eshet Aviv independently are Chayav, then certainly Imo and Eshet Aviv should be Chayav. The Gemara can ask that question, not worry about Onshim and Adin, because it should be obvious from the fact that there's no or between them that they both apply, and they can both apply equally to each other. But two, and if you want to go with this logic, Abaye, the Rabbanan Ami Aktiv Imchahi, because the Chachamim need Imchahi to learn out a punishment for this case. Why? Because in the Torah, it gives you a warning against Imo, and it gives a warning against Eshet Aviv. I mean, there are warnings that you're not allowed to have relations with your father's wife, and not allowed with your mother. But when it comes to the Onshim, the only thing that's mentioned in the Onshim is Eshet Aviv, is the father's wife. What about the Onish for Imo? So where do we learn that out from? We learn that out from Imcha Hi. From the Lashon of Imcha Hi, is that Bahaviyata Tehei, that she has old Tzadim. Old Tzadim means that, so since we know that the Chachamim say that when it says the punishment for Eshet Aviv means whether it's Imo and not Imo, and therefore from there we learn Imchahi, that Imo has all the same punishment across the board. So if it's Imo but Eshet Aviv gets a punishment, then certainly Imo that's not Eshet Aviv will get the same punishment. And they're using Imchahi for that. That can't be that it's a miut. Ela, no. How mi bayale the Rav Shisha bere de Ravidi. We need this for Rav Shishi de Bravidi. This Rav Shishi de Bravidi, which we just explained, is to teach you that the punishment for Imo alone is also the same as the punishment for Eshet Aviv, which is Imo, which is Skila. So the Rav Yehuda Nami, I will me by the Rav Shishi Bereid Ravidi. If the Chachamim needed for that, then Rabbi Yehuda also needs Imchai to teach you the punishment. The Pasuk says, Ervata. Where does it say Ervata? By his mother. It says, Ervat Imchai, lo tigale Ervata. So what does it mean, Ervata? Ervata means, Ervachat ata mechayvo, viata mechayvo, mishtei Ervot. You only like to be mechayvim for one Erva, one Arayot, not for two Arayot. So if we're in the Pasuk of Imo, Imo teaches that you're chayv for Imo, and not Eshet Aviv. That's the limit of Rabbi Yehuda. Elimiato, if you want to say that, Ervat kalatcha lo tegale, Eshet bincha hi lo tegale ervata. What are you going to say by Eshet kalatcha? Hochanami, you're going to learn the same limit, mishum erva achad ata mechayvo, viata mechavo, mishum shtei arvot. You're going to be chayv for one erva there, not two. By a daughter-in-law, you're going to be chayv one. But it's not our mission. At the end of our mission, it says, a bala kalato, someone who has a extramarital affair with his daughter-in-law, chayav ale mishum kalato, umishum eshet ish. Chayav for two things, one for Eshet Ish and one for daughter-in-law. So you see, there is no such thing. Ben b'chayev b'no, ben lachar mitat b'no, whether his son's alive or not. V'lo palik Rabbi Yehuda. In our mission, we don't see Rabbi Yehuda arguing there. He only argues in the case of Eshet Aviv. So it must be something that's unique to Eshet Aviv. And if Ervata is the source for your limud, Ervata has also appears by Kalatcha. Ella, oh, you have to say, Kevon d'chad gufohu, afgadei trei sirininu. Even though it's one goof, and there's still two Isira Arayot, Ketiv Ervata, it still uses the term Ervata. Hachanaim, in our case, Kevin Dechad Gufahu, here, over here, it's one goof, that's both Eshet Av and the Imo. Afakam the Tree Isirinu, even though they're two Isira, Ketiv Ervata, the Pasuk uses the term Ervata. So, word Ervata is not a term that is coming to minimize the amount of Isirim over here, it's a term that's used, that even though you have one individual, you can still have multiple Arayot involved with a single goof or a single action. Rava says like this, what is the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim revolve around? Now Rava is going to give the explanation, and then tomorrow we'll have a brisa that really digs into and explains how the limud is. I'll read the limud quickly, I try to explain it on a superficial level, tomorrow's daf will really get into what the depth of the limud is. So Amar Rava, Kasav Rav Yehuda, Ervat Avicha Zu Eshet Avicha. It says, Ervat Avicha in the Pasuk. It says, Ervat Avicha v'imcha lo tegaleh. Right? Ervat Avicha hi. So when it says, Ervat Avicha, he says, the first Ervat Avicha means not your father's wife. Umayti labik zera shava. And he learns that out from zera shava. Just like Avicha over here in this Pasuk, of Ervat Avicha means it's going to mean your father's wife. How do you know that? Because it says in the punishments, in the onshim, it says, Ervat Ishir Aviv, right? And there it says, Ervat Avicha Gila. So over there, it's just like it says Avicha by Eshet Avicha. So to hear the word Avicha means Eshet Avicha. Mashma ben Eshet Aviv, Shimo, ben Eshet Aviv, Sheino Imo. And Mashma here, when it says that it's his father's wife, doesn't tell you whether it's your mother or not. It seems to be irrelevant. It's your father's wife, whether it's your mother or not. And then, Imo Sheino Eshet Aviv, Minayim. How do I know his mother? That's not his father's wife. How do I know there's a restriction? That's the next line in the Pulsuk. So lo tegaleh imcha. So mishum imo atam mechayvo biatam mechayvo mishum eshet aviv. So that comes to teach you that you are chayav for imo, but you are not chayav for eshet aviv. But so basically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have a miut in the pasuk of ervat imchahi. That miut is referencing what was mentioned earlier in the pasuk. The earlier pasuk, I would have known imo and eshet aviv because eshet aviv includes everything. Come on, Imchai must be a mute, exclude what we knew before. And that means Imo and not Eshet Aviv. Ah, you had a question earlier in the Gemara about, it also says, Ervat Avichahi. If it's Ervat Avichahi, that should also be a mute. So you should say that he'd be higher for the Eshet Av and not for Imo. Over there, it's not clear because the beginning of the pasuk over there is talking about Eshet Aviv. It's talking about Eshet Aviv, and then it comes Ervat Avichahi. You can't be coming to exclude Aim. Aim was never mentioned in the Mishnah, in that pasuk. So since Aim was never mentioned in that pasuk, the exclusion must be about Eshet Av. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda's second opinion is. That when it comes to Eshet Aviv, you're only chayav for Eshet Aviv and not for Eshet Ish. And that's how he uses that mute. Again, we will go over this tomorrow when it comes to the, with the limud and the brisa. Stop here.